Dissonance Media and the Other Stories presents. Step into the abyss of After the Gloaming, a gothic fiction podcast that delves into the depths of human emotion. Unyielding love, revenge, internal struggles, and restless souls await you in 9 haunting episodes, where dread, fear, and rare glimpses of eerie happiness linger. Dare to listen on your favorite podcatcher? After the Gloaming beckons. Search now, but beware. Innocence will be left behind.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
These aren't the stories your mother told you. No, these are the other stories.
Today's episode of The Other Stories is Prosperity, written by Ethan K. Lee and narrated by Erica Ventura.
It starts with a headache. Well, that's what you tell yourself anyway. You claim it starts with those headaches. Not quite migraines, more like cluster headaches. Brutal, violent things that crush against the inside of your skull. The headaches are unresponsive to any of the normal remedies. Caffeine, hydration, Advil, changing your diet. Nothing works to subdue the pain. It feels like your skull will split. Even the experimental drugs from Dr. Holstein are useless. But it doesn't really start with the headaches, does it? No. It starts a few days, maybe a week before. During small off moments when the voice whispers, almost like a tickle in your ear.
I'm hungry.
You ignore it, even when you're in the car, and the voice starts to grow to such a whining roar that you can no longer hear the Spotify playlist. Big Lotto and Saweetie, your guilty pleasure. You still ignore the voice. It gets harder to disregard what's happening when you catch your reflection staring back with menacing, starving eyes.
I'm hungry.
Focusing more on the family helps a bit. You sit with your children while they do homework. You're more rigorous in bed with your husband, doing things you haven't done since only the parts of your body you wanted to jiggle actually moved. He's stupefied.
Idiot livestock. We should have killed him when we could.
None of it matters. The voice won't go. You wash your face in the sink, and when you come up, your reflection is staring at you. Dry hair still done up in a ponytail. So, you start the ritual. At this point, you're still lying to yourself. Just antsy, you tell your husband as you get in the car I'm looking for new throw pillows. The couch needs color, you claim. So, off you go, driving through the county, exploring the new shopping centers. You don't bother with the old strip malls, the ones with a Foot Locker, massage parlor, liquor store, and a Chinese buffet. No, you find the new constructions, the ones some developers just built for the influx of millennials looking for a more urban style of living in the suburbs. You find a place with luxury condos, floor-to-ceiling windows looking out over a chic wine bar, and a ramen shop that does omakase on Saturdays only. You're still telling lies now. You actually look at the omakase menu, thinking that you might coax your husband into a date night.
I'm hungry.
The voice keeps you on track. It forces you to ask the hard questions, the important ones that eat at your subconscious.
Do you think you deserve this life? Don't you understand how easily this can all be taken away? You vile, disgusting pig. Do you understand how close your life is to utter collapse?
Covering your ears, you take a seat in the wine bar. There are men here. Most are in their late 30s, maybe early 40s. They wear suits with their thinning hair combed backward, and a respectable corporate level of scruff on their chins. These men might fit the ritual, but you aren't hasty. Can't be hasty. It needs to happen in the right sequence. All things must be done in their proper order. With the hunting ground located, now it's time to cleanse the body. That's how you've always thought of it, like dipping into a pool of sacred water before approaching the divine. Your husband is full of nothing but compliments as you increase your time at the gym from 1 to 2 hours. In 2 weeks, you've shed 8 pounds. Dyeing your hair blonde makes your husband's mouth drop in awe. You almost pity the pathetic fool. Botox and lip fillers make him follow you from room to room.
Cut out his eyes. I hate the way he stares.
While you agree, you choose not to mutilate your husband. Despite his idiocy, he's a good man who supplied, if not paradise, at least a close approximation of the ideal American life. You own a 4-bedroom house in the suburbs. The schools are safe, and most of the students go to college. There's a decent enough downtown for whenever you're feeling desperate for your youth. Honestly, could you ask for more? The answer, of course, is no. No, because you don't deserve this. You didn't earn one moment of this life. Sometimes the self-loathing is so thick, you can taste bile in the back of your throat.
I'm hungry.
The self-loathing, the constant, unending hatred buried in your stomach is why the ritual is so important. It's why you buy new outfits and spend hours on YouTube learning the latest makeup trends. Not to entice your husband, who, idiot that he is, thinks he's done something to elicit this change in your behavior. With your body and face sufficiently changed, it's time for the next step. It is the easiest, although you wonder how much longer the hunting will be so simple. You're 41, and while celebrities seem to be able to maintain their goddess physique well into their 50s, what are average middle-aged suburban moms supposed to do? That's a thought for next year, however. This is about preserving what you have right now. About maintaining another year. It's almost embarrassing for them, you think? It's almost sad how easy it is to snare a man in your web of lies. To make him abandon his home, morals, and responsibilities for a tryst with a beautiful woman. In the sixth week, you find one that you like. It's 8 p.m. The wine bar is filled with couples. He isn't as young as you'd hoped, but he'll do.
I'm starving. Open his throat.
I know, you say aloud.
What was that?
He asks. You smile. The plastic you've pumped into your lips the past few weeks makes him go brain dead. You can quite literally see the intelligence leaving his eyes as he stares at your inflated pink glossy lips.
Almost as dumb as that idiot cattle you keep at home.
You take a sip of wine to silence the voice. How many days are you in town? You ask.
3. I'm just...
And then he starts to talk about work. As men do, thinking that this is somehow interesting to you. He babbles incoherently. And you imagine this is what it must have felt like to be a courtier, listening to some Renaissance knight talk about a military campaign.
Idiocy. Open his neck here. Do it here. I'm starving.
Instead, you graze his neck gently with your nails. He gulps. I have better wine in my room, you say. He tries to say something smooth, which you smile at, holding back the laugh in your throat. He has a wife and 3 children, all girls. But none of that is your problem. If his wife wanted to hold on to her perfect life, if she cared enough to maintain her family and keep out the floodwaters, then you never would have found her husband. He's here as part of the ritual, because she lets something slip.
Wow, I'm into it,
he says as he walks into the hotel room. You think how idiotic men are. How no woman walking into a stranger's hotel room to this site would ever willingly stay. Around the bed is a circle of candles. Black candles, of course. It's what the ritual demands. On the wall behind the bed, you've hung a map of the zodiac, onto which you've made a few adjustments in red ink. You've laid a towel on the bed. It's black, complete with a red pentagram.
Feed me!
His moronic brain, overflowing with lust, stares at the towel and ignores the pentagram, choosing instead to focus on the implications of covering the bed.
Who wears the shackles?
He asks with what he thinks is a seductive grin. You've installed a simple set of wrist and ankle cuffs, the type you can buy at any novelty adult shop, beneath the bed frame. You touch his neck again, making him bite his lip. You'll wear them, of course, you say. No hesitation. He's half naked in bed before you tell him you need to go to the bathroom. As you close the door, you see him putting on the cuffs. Your reflection is drooling. Her face is sallow, and her eyes are rimmed in purple. She's clawing at her face.
I'm starving! Starving! Cut his throat! Drink his blood! Get this over with.
Now that you're here, you finally feel a bit more in control. You put your hand against the mirror and tell your reflection to be calm, that the ritual needs to follow its proper order. She's nearly tearing out her eyeballs as you leave the bathroom. If he suspects anything as you climb on top to straddle his waist, he makes no indication. Still clothed, you grind slowly, feeling your power growing. It's then that you utter the single word. the one small word that changes everything. It comes from the back of your throat, a guttural, vile sound from a language dead so long it's unclear the original speakers would have even been classified as Homo sapiens. The word is cruel. Even not knowing its meaning, you see his eyes widen. He wants to vomit at the sound.
What?
He says. You hear his voice faltering. That's when you lean forward, kiss his ear, and start to conclude the ritual. You put a finger to his lips. I need you to imagine something for me. Think of it as fantasizing, you say. He nods his assent, and you begin to tell him things that no man should know. You talk of ancient goddesses, of their mammoth bone altars deep in the caves of Siberia, and of rites so horrid that he starts to push against the restraints. You tell him of things ancient when the pyramids were built, of knowledge that the high priests of Egypt knew only as rumor, your tongue pressed against his ear. You tell him of the rituals that preceded Moloch, of the fearsome deities from whose wrath such pettier gods were supposed to protect the Canaanites.
No, please,
he says.
Starving!
And finally, after weeks of preparation, you bring the knife to his neck. When it's done, you wash the blood from your hands in the bathroom sink. I reach through the mirror, touch your face, and tell you it's all right. Another year, I say. You nod. Another year, you say. At home the next day, you watch a chef's competition with your husband. You stroke his beard and ask if it's okay for you to dye your hair brown. Being blonde was fun, but autumn is a more brunette time, you say. There's clear disappointment on his face. Somehow the fool hasn't noticed the yearly patterns to your hair color. Or perhaps he doesn't want to know. After the show, you lay in bed on your phone, reading about the disappearance of 36-year-old Darren Jameson. You smile at the picture of his distraught wife. Her hand covers her mouth as she breaks into tears at the press conference. Should have protected your belongings, you say. Your husband walks into the bedroom, brushing his teeth. What'd you say? He asks. He's not much to look at. Thinning hair, growing belly, standing there in a dirty white t-shirt and ripped boxers. But he belongs to you. And all of this is yours as well. I said that we need to start using this face oil at night, you say. He shrugs and lets you put a few droplets onto his face. If he smells the coppery scent or wonders at the red hue, he makes no mention of these qualities. Why he doesn't wonder that the bottle lacks a label, you'll never know. Happily, genuinely smiling for the first time in weeks, you rub the oil into his flesh. Another year of prosperity, you say, and kiss the fool on his lips.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Other Stories. Prosperity was written by Ethan K. Lee, narrated by Erica Ventura, produced by Duncan Muggleton with music by Duncan Muggleton and Tom Robson, and sound effect provided by freesound.org. The episode illustration was provided by Luke Spooner of Carry On House. And a quick thanks to our community managers, Joshua Boucher and Jasmine Arch, and to Joshua Boucher for helping with our submission reading, and of course to Ben Errington, the ritualistic innovator, carving new angles into the world of seance, EVP, spirit boxes, and shamanic journaling. Ethan has previously been published in This Book is Cursed, E is for Exorcism, Culp, Treasure, Cosmic Horror Monthly, Culp Underground, and The Jewish Book of Horror. You can follow him on Twitter at @EthanK_Lee. Erica Ventura is an artist, mother, bilingual narrator, and a husbandry technician. How does she manage it all? No idea, but her artwork can be seen on Instagram at @EFVENTU, or you can visit her artist page at facebook.com/bioartsy. The Other Stories is a production of the Story Studio Hawk and Cleaver, and is brought to you with a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. That means don't change it, don't sell it, but by all means share the hell out of it. So, until next time.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.